And I want to build up to what is my favorite verse in all of the Bible and explain why it's my favorite verse in just a moment. The message this morning is entitled, Calming Coronavirus Concerns. There's a lot of concerned people. I get that, and you get that. And of course, what I believe is that everybody just needs to relax and recognize the Lord is in control. I want to say this, this is not going to be the only virus we ever encounter. I'm not saying that to make light of what's going on, but we just understand that that's how things work. Acts chapter 20, and I want to begin our reading in verse 17 in God's word this morning. The word of God says in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me, by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the message worldwide that we need to proclaim. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't plan on parking here, but what is that? We go to God and we tell God, I believe what you say I am. I am a sinner. I am lost. I am undone. I cannot save myself. And we exercise our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died in our place, who died for us. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And we say, we believe you. Our faith rests in you. Now, the Bible says in verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Okay. Here's the message I get from the Holy Ghost every day. More trouble's coming, Paul. He says, I have that constant witness. So what do you do when you've got preachers in front of you that are worried about their future? And you don't know what's going to happen in your future. Let me just say this, you either turn to God or you turn to yourself. And this is my favorite verse in all the Bible, verse 24. It's something the Lord has used to sustain me over 20 years. And I often go to it. You know, as a leader, you have to shut out fear. You have to shut out things and negativity. Because there is something far greater in the Christian life that's far more important than you or me or any virus. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says this, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I'm not going to be moved by what's going on with you. I'm burdened for you. I'm concerned for you, he says to those pastors. I don't know what's going to befall me in Jerusalem, but I do know what's behind me, and I do know who has been with me these many years, and I know that I have a job to do, and by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. Let's pray. Father, help, I pray. Lord, I pray that every single person would get what you want for them, including me. Father, I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, Spirit-filled preaching, Spirit-filled listening, Spirit-directed responses. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when did I get the verse? 1998. I'd gone to Bible college and left mom and six brothers behind. Mom was a single mom, and the boys needed a big brother in their life at that time. But God had called me, and the Lord provided a way for me to go for some education. So I went to Manitoba the first time. A deacon in the church drove me, but I had to leave mom and the brothers behind, and that was a tough thing. I moved to an area that I didn't know or understand, and it was a part of Canada, different culture. And I remember being there in Bible college, and I didn't have my first month's payment. And the guy said, how are you going to pay for it? I said, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. He goes, yeah, that's good to have faith, but you need money. I said, I realize that. So I bought, with a couple of bucks, I bought myself a prayer pad that I can have beside my bed. And I invested in that, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I need a job. And the job I got was a waiter. I went in to apply for a cook. There's no cooks being hired. And I walked out with purpose to go and get a job somewhere else. And he called and said, I want to hire you and make you a waiter. You ever done that? No. Do you speak Plodich, Mennonite language? I said, no. Can you read it? I said, no. He says, but you can move real fast. I can maybe work with that. Okay. So here's what was going on in my life. $695 a month for room and board. This is 1998 in Manitoba. $365 a month. That's faith, promise, missions, commitment, and other commitments. And I made $550 an hour working 30 hours a week. Math guy, you know that doesn't work. I had lots of faith, but very little money. But I was in the perfect spot for a preacher. Because what God had to teach me is that he'd take care of me. And how did he do it? He just did it. People gave me tips, and I didn't know their language. He found ways to provide for me. I'm getting ready to preach in this preacher's course. And my fear wasn't looking good to people. I said, oh God, I know you've called me, but I need them to believe that you've called me. That's my concern. God, I'm scared. I don't do the talking thing. Don't believe that now, but that was true then. And got a call from mom. She said, Nikki's been beat up by this gang. They bashed his head in with a baseball bat. And this other guy's selling cocaine to your brother. Man, the bills are piling up. And I said, God, I'm the big brother there. And I come from the background where I handled things for the boys. And I'm not there. The temptation was to call some people of the past life and say, hey, can you? It's not what preachers do. It's not what Christians do. I said, oh, God. And all I could remember was this little song that I heard sung in Sunday school. I never went to Sunday school, but the kids sang it. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And I thought, moved. And someone gave me this thing called a concordance where they said preachers can get messages. I didn't even know what that stuff was. And I looked it up, and the Lord gave me this verse. And I said, Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to be moved. Listen, folks. God took care of me in those early years. God took care of me as I went to another Bible college and Y2K was going on. I went to another Bible college, no job. The economy was horrible. People are freaking out about this Y2K. The only job I can get was picking apples in an orchard. That's humbling. Other guys are making $24 an hour at GM part-time, and I'm picking apples for a buck a crate in an orchard. Man, you want to talk about brokenness, and God provided. God took care of things. God took care of us. Got to White Horse. Me and Amber got into church. First message I'm given is a watch night service. Preacher said, you're going to set the tone for the year. No pressure. And the message was, go ye in 2003, the Great Commission. And Amber had no clue. I said, God has called me, honey, and you haven't seen me live much of a Christian life, but I think things are going to accelerate. She's 20 years old, new Christian. I'm this preacher, and this message comes forth in power, and God did it. And it's like, and Amber's like, oh, okay, so this is what a preacher is. And God has taken care of us every step of the way. You fast forward to Manitoba. I'm working for a deacon. I had a man call me, said, my wife's leaving me, preacher. I said, I know, brother. I'm just at work right now. He says, Pastor, I got a loaded gun, and I just can't do it anymore. And I'm weeping. I have to work a job and pastor. And I went to my boss, and I said, listen, brother, I'm not trying to make excuses. I need to talk to this guy. He says, I'll grant you the time to do it. But 2 weeks later, I said, I need a pastor more than I need a job. Three kids. $750 a month coming in from the church. That's all they could pay. And I walked into a guy that's a close friend of mine. And I said, I need to leave. And he says, you're right. I said, I have to pastor. I said, all I ask is you pray for me. $750 a month doesn't pay the mortgage, folks. But God took care of it. God blessed. And God stepped in. You know, the world is going crazy right now. But I want to remind you of a God who has us covered. I'm not saying we're not going to experience difficult things. I'm concerned about people's stock investments. I am. Because I'd be a fool and unlearned not to be. But I know God has us covered. I know this is affecting a lot of people. But I want to remind us that the Lord is in control. So how do we deal with things like this when they come into our life? Number one, trust the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 46. You say, preacher, that is so simple, but here's the thing that I want to mention. We know it's so simple, but yet why do we forsake God and start to depend upon ourselves and panic when calamity happens? We have to trust in the Lord. God has led me personally these many years. You say, preacher, I'm not you. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something, dear one. If you're a Christian, he loves you. You say, I don't believe that. He loves you even if you don't believe it. How about that? Think on that deeply. He cares for you. You say, I don't have enough faith. Doesn't matter. God is greater than our lack of faith. I'm so glad that I have a Heavenly Father who is far greater than I can ever imagine Him to be. I'm going to tell you something. I can't explain God in His fullness. I can't. I can't explain the Trinity in all its complexity and simplicity. But I know that God is real. Psalm 46, we've fixated upon this in recent days, but there's some verses down in this passage that are a tremendous help. We see in verse 46, God is our refuge and strength. If you're a child of God, that is who He is for us. A very present help in trouble. You say, pastor, I'm worried. My kids are worried. God's not worried. He's not worried. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, stop and think about that for a second. What moves you and what moves me? And the psalmist describes all kinds of potential things that could happen. And he said, even though this happens, we're not going to be moved because I know and we know who God is. The fact of the matter is like I'm looking at soldiers in an army and say, here's the marching orders. You've got a message of hope. Give it out everywhere you go. Give it out everywhere you go. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, this tabernacle, this meeting place. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 6 for me is one of the, you want to talk about literature, you want to talk about poetry? This is one of the most powerful sentences in human history. Look at how powerful this is. Verse 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. How about that, man? You can't match God. I don't really know where this virus came from. I have some ideas. We have to suffer the consequences. I can say this with confidence, with political games that are going on. And they affect many lives. God's in control. Man thinks he's in control. Man thinks he is so smart. No. Did we not pray on Sunday, Lord, get a hold of our prime minister's heart. Save his soul. You know, we need to pray for his wife now. She's got this, and he's quarantined. My prayer is that the Lord would give him time just to think about life, because I truly care for his soul. I do. I don't care what his political party is. That's a soul that needs the Lord. We must think beyond those things. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Stop and think about it for a second. It says the God of who is with us? Which character? Who is it? Good guy? Thank you, Lord, that it's there. Because I know you'll be with Jason. And I know some of you sinners that pastored you a while. Okay? You're not perfect either. The God of Jacob. The guy that took care of that con artist is the God that'll take care of us. We just have to trust in the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't have enough faith. Listen, I understand those things. The Lord is worthy of our trust. That's the absolute truth of the matter. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Preacher, what do? Trust the Lord. In case you haven't noticed, I'm a hyperactive individual. I'm always wanting to do and the next thing. But this comes from just getting still before the Lord. We prayed today as a church family, and there's moments of just silence. And I enjoyed it because you just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Is God God, yes or no? So is he greater than this virus, yes or no? Do we have to be foolish? No. But the Lord knows. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Have you? No. No, the Lord is good. So what do? Trust in the Lord. Number two, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't allow fear to rule your life. I'll say, preacher, it's easy. The stock markets are at an almost all-time low. There are people that are sick. We prayed for Pastor Jeff Friesen. He went on a trip to California and went to a pastor's conference. And there was one person in that Santa Clara region that had the coronavirus. And there are folks in the church that aren't going because their pastor was in an area where potentially, you know, 1/1,000,000,000th percentile, he could have possibly come in contact with someone that breathed the breath of air, and now they can't go to church. That's fear. That's fear. Folks, I'm not being proud or puffed up, but I can't think of a better people to be infected with, if that's the case. Think about it. Let's be honest and real. We've put up with each other over things that are far worse than the coronavirus. Let's be real here. We've annoyed each other more than this virus. I'm not downplaying it. But I'm going to tell you something. I have hope in my soul. And when I don't, my wife gives me a spiritual kick in the pants. Says, suck it up, big boy. I'm married to a man, right? And I'm glad for a wife like that. Is fear plaguing your life? Timothy was that way. Young preacher in the first book, Paul wrote him and said to him, he says, let no man despise thy youth. He said it because they were despising his youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word and all these things. And he had done it, but he writes the second book, and Timothy is worried in a psychological sense. He grew up in a messed up home. He was plagued by things of his upbringing. He had youth working against him. He began to show signs of stomach problems. And if you're going to go in the ministry, you will have those things from time to time. The zeal of the Lord's house will eat you up. But notice what the word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we need. Favor that we don't deserve. We need mercy of God who doesn't give us what we truly deserve. And we need peace, the peace of God in our life. We need that trio of graces that only God can give. He says to him in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Timothy, he knew what he was going through. You're overwhelmed, you're frustrated. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. He says, I thank God because I see real faith in you. What do I mean by real faith? Unfaith. It's not hypocritical. It's genuine. This is a guy who was real. He had real problems. He had real growth points that he was going through in his life, but he had real faith and he was a real person. And thank the Lord for that. He says, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirrest the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He says, Timothy, you are called to ministry. You got to stir it up sometimes. You say, preacher, how do you do that? You know, sometimes I listen to messages. Sometimes I listen to music. Sometimes I read biographies. Oftentimes I listen to the prayer of the saints. And God stirs something in his ministers. He reminds us of who he is and what he can do. He says, Timothy, you need to stir it up. You're overwhelmed right now. There's a congregation to care for. And look at the beautiful word he gives him in verse 7. How is this possible? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear paralyzes. It cripples. Listen, Christians shouldn't operate this way. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. We're not talking about a reverential respect of God. We're talking about something that cripples and paralyzes. He says, Timothy, God has equipped you for the job. God has called you and equipped you. Notice this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are things that God's given us, but it's not fear. It's power. We have the access to the spirit of the living God and power to do what we need to do in our lives. Love. People say, man, I just couldn't love that person. You're right. And you don't have to, but oh, no one has the excuse to not let God love through them. And a sound mind, a mind that can reason and look at things and say, yes, this is the facts, but let's consider the Lord here and what the Lord can do. That soundness, it's wholeness. Listen, we get to trust in the Lord, but we can't allow fear to rule our lives. Number three, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And you look at the book you're turning to, and you see the author of the book, this was an imperfect individual. The prophecy of Jesus Christ is fulfilled in this man's life. Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He didn't say, hey, when you get saved, do it. No, no. Peter, when you change your thinking and your mind becomes my mind, you're going to strengthen your brethren. We all have growing points in our life. Peter at that time was doubting God and telling God what to do. You recall the scripture where he put his hands on Jesus and this isn't going to happen to you. You're not going to die, God. What zeal, but what misguided zeal. I'll protect you. I won't let anybody hurt my God. God doesn't need our protection. God doesn't need our protection. We need God's protection. So Peter, writing believers, writing these saints, and he gives this powerful word of admonition. In 1 Peter 3, verse 14, he says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We go through a lot of garbage as Christians because of the foolishness of other people. I want to tell you something. I can rejoice this day because the coronavirus is not my fault. I didn't make it up. I didn't develop it with its complexities that scientists are having a tough time to figure it up. Most viruses that are normal and non-created viruses are pretty easy to figure out here. God's got things covered. Look at verse 15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Christian, you're going through difficult times, he says. You're wondering why you're going through things, and you'll begin to say, this is unfair, and this is unjust, and it can throw you off course, get you off of your purpose. How do we fix that? Set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
We need to promote a message of hope and not panic. Folks, I am not terrified. I'm not. Say, what if you get it? And what if you die? I'm a diabetic. It affects 7% of them. 7% of diabetics die. I go to heaven. I'm not crazy, but I'm like, Pat, I beat you. Seriously. I beat you. Bon voyage. You don't think me and Amber have had these talks over the years? The older you get, you kind of have these talks of life. I said, honey, you're going to get a tremendous life insurance package. And God may bring along an even better guy. Who knows? Goodbye, world, goodbye, man. I said, you got a death sentence? No. But I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm not saying be foolish. No, not at all. So you die. Neither count on my life dear unto myself. The problem of our age is often we're self-centered. Oh, what if I get hurt? What if you don't? Right? What if I start a business and they don't like my cupcakes? Okay, well, what if you do and they love them? We're so much panic and fear that comes into life, and people worry about things far too much. Consider the word of God. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. I'm watching people. I might not die after all. Okay? Like, seriously. Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalm 71, verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. And our message to one another and to those in this city, Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Say, preacher, I'm not naturally a hopeful person. I'm glad you've made that discovery. Neither am I. I'm actually very pessimistic. I'm actually naturally not a trusting person. I've encountered enough crazy stuff in my life to know that people are crazy and they live among me. Say, what about yourself? I'm not focused on me today, okay? No. Listen. But you can through the Holy Spirit. You know what this church has taught me? I'm going to be honest with you. You know what this church has taught me? I believe God is holy. I want to do everything absolutely right. I do. That's a part of my spirit. But perfectionism is a sin. You know what this church has, trust me? This church has really changed me in my preaching in this regard, as I really adhere to the sovereignty of God in a greater and more powerful way than I ever have. And it taught me that coming here. God knows it all. God sees it all. And God is God, and therefore we don't have to be or try to be. Think about how great God is. He knew what we'd become, and he saved us anyway. Preachers in the room, he knows who we really are when no one else is around, and he called us anyway. There are days I look up, and I'm not being weird. I'm like, you know. I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this. Like, you know. You know I'm weird, right? Like, you do know that, right? You do know my bents. But that's why I love him. And that's why there's a passion for him. And I think God's teaching that church this way is that preachers don't have to be perfect. That actually increases your faith in God. Because if they were, you'd worship the preacher. And I'm sick of that in churches, aren't you? You got an imperfect pastor, and it gives you hope. Because God can use an imperfect vessel. And I trust when you look in the mirror, you'd say, God, you're good. You get to work with this today. It shows the power of our amazing God. And here's the truth for us. We have a message of hope. Christians shouldn't be running around, get more toilet paper! I know the God who made the trees, man. I'm not trying to freak you out, but that sanitizer is not going to save you. It's not.
I was trying to find it. Oh, Lord, people will freak out. We need sanitizer. And the Lord's like, use what you got. Bleach things down. You know. Teresa's a doctor, and she is praying today. Lord, you know what's going on. I said, even the doctor believes God. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Number four, recognize the opportunity to help people. In Isaiah chapter 6, he talks about seeing the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. And then that prophet said, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. What an opportunity. You're going to think your preacher's crazy. The economy sucks. There's more houses than there are people. There's no sports. There's limited travel. There's deep socioeconomic concerns. And I thought, what a recipe for revival if you've ever seen it in your life, God. This is where a preacher's like, wow, we need more preachers now. What an open door. I'm watching our teenagers having withdrawals. Where's the channel? Where's my team? Okay, I guess I'll pray after all. And every parent's like, we've been praying for our young people. You mean to tell me Albertans have time to look for the Lord again, and that's a bad thing? And I'm not belittling what people are going through. But what an opportunity for God to work. And what an army of believers who have a message of hope. You mean, Mountie, you're not freaked out? Oh, come on, man. Come on. What? Well, why? God. God. Folks, this is amazing. Let me encourage you to love somebody. Encourage somebody today. Coronavirus is going on, so I took some of the kids to Boston Pizza. I thought, what a way to celebrate. I'm not trying to be crazy. And the general manager's like, I can't get workers to come in because they're all going to get the virus. And I said, the thing that concerns me about Boston Pizza is not the virus. It's your service once in a while, just to be honest with you. Especially in the afternoons, no one comes in. I said, I pastor the Lakeside Baptist Church, and God's got it taken care of, and people need to just relax. Just relax. I said, I'll pray for you. Just because I can't get workers. It's stressful. I said, the Lord's good. God's got it taken care of. I went to No Frills. I've never seen No Frills as busy in all the days of my life, and people freaking out, just, it's toilet paper! I was almost tempted to buy all the toilet paper in the world and sell it from the church. I thought, no, that's pretty bad. You know, I heard of one guy that has 17,000 units of that gel, that sanitizing gel, and they shut them down on Amazon. I'm like, send us a couple boxes from New York. Because toilet paper is going to save your soul. You didn't know that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but a squirt of Purell. Oh, I'm safe. Put it all over my body. Oh, virus is not going to get me. And Amber ran into a guy and he's like, coronavirus. I'm going to go have me some coronavirus. I thought, buddy, now there's the opposite extreme. The Lord knows. He's got it figured out. He knows what's going on. Help people. What an opportunity to help people. You mean you don't got a job? You mean you're worried about your future? You're worried about this virus? Well, I know my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. I know that. And I know my God heals diseases. And I know my God laughs at man as they scramble to try and show their intelligence. we can trust the Lord, but we should help people. And lastly, consider the following precautionary steps. That's how we calm the concern over this thing. Proverbs 13, verse 16, every prudent man deal with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. I'm not saying this is virus is propaganda. I'm not going to be foolish and say that. But I also don't believe it's the end of the earth. I think you need to have a measured, balanced approach to these things. Okay? You do. How many things in history have been raised up that, man, shifted markets, shifted economies, shifted all these things? Planes are going to fall out of the sky. And I look at it, I'm like, okay, this happens every couple of years. With that being said, though, here's some steps for us to follow. Ask the Lord for wisdom for your home. I don't lead every home here, nor do I want to. Ask God for wisdom for your home. Let me just say this. If you in good conscience don't feel safe coming to church, I'm not going to make fun of you. If you believe the Lord doesn't want you coming to church, don't come. No one's going to judge you for that here. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to meet. Okay? Even if it's me and Mountaine are the only survivors, he's going to get it with both barrels. Okay? And I'll say, you must be a bad sinner. That's why everybody's gone. No, I won't say that. Okay? No, I won't say that. If things get really crazy, folks, we've got technology. Jonathan knows how to do this live stream, Skype. He's got it covered. I don't even know the name of the stuff. It's not a time to turn away from the Lord. No. Remain calm. I was with my kids. I said, Dad, what is this thing? I said, it's okay. It's okay. The Lord's in control. He knows what he's doing. Encourage thorough hand washing with soap and water for 20 seconds. Say, preacher, everybody. No, your kids might not know that. I was tempted to have Teresa to demonstrate that this morning. That's the best thing you can do is soap and water. You know, in between, back, 20 seconds. Do we normally do that? No. But probably a good time to do that. Just some proper hygiene stuff that we can do. I'd sanitize your home. If you got personal hand sanitizers, great, use them. We're going to do that in the church. Take precautions between service. Just wipe things down. Just take some precautions. Okay? We're not going to spray everybody down as they come in. But we are going to be smart about it. Be smart. Use some wisdom. We've got hand sanitizer. If it runs out, we'll try to get more. Okay? Avoid unnecessarily travel, especially to infected areas. It's just wise. Just wise. And with this kind of a thing, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. I don't know if there are cases in town. I've heard different rumors of things. If they are, 2 or 3 people amongst 15,000 doesn't have to be the end of Cold Lake. But exercise some wisdom. I'm going to go to church. We've got the Energy Center tomorrow. I'm going to go. They haven't outlawed that. I think our government in Alberta is exercising some wisdom. They said if we shut down the schools for 2 weeks, we might as well shut them down to September. We're going to take precautions. That's wise. Don't promote panic. Be smart with those things. Purchase necessary non-perishable and canned items. We did this a couple weeks before, and I'm not a big impulse buyer, but Amber came home and says, do we really need all those flats of Campbell's soup? I'm like, 50 cents a can. How many juice jugs did you buy? I'm 60. For $1 and the regular $2. I teased the girls. We had Tracy over and Tasha over. And I phoned my wife. I said, it's officially J-Day in Cold Lake. Because husbands bother their wives this way. I said, it's J-Day. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I got a deal everywhere I went. Everything we ever love is on sale, including ice cream. And I said, Starbucks needs to get on board. She said, you didn't. I did. Okay. And I pulled up to Starbucks, $5, some people call it, okay? I said, it's J-Day. I said, I'm the pastor of Lakeside Baptist Church, and several of our addicts have given you lots of money here. And they laughed, and the lady goes, I know your wife. She drives that big van. That big van, I want one of those. No, you don't. I'm stuck with one of those. You don't want that. I didn't plan on that. And then my bitterness came out. I mean, I love my children, but I didn't want little two, little three. I did, hey, didn't really plan that. And I said, okay, you know her. It's J-Day. We don't give deals at Starbucks. I said, but you need to today. Because us guys are paying for those loaded cards at Starbucks. How about if we give you three of these Valentine lollipop things that have been left over and we give you a discount, we wrap it in a special bowl? I said, that'll do. And I walked in and I said, enjoy the benefits of J-Day, ladies. And walked out of the room. Yeah, I did it, okay? Why do you say all that? You know, when you're led of the Spirit, God will take care of things. So buy things that you're going to need. Things can slow down. I'm not saying trucks are done. He works at Walmart. I said, let us know about things going on so I can inform our people. He said, no problem. Stock up on a few things. You need canned soup more than you need toilet paper. Just saying, in case you didn't notice, right? Avoid major purchases for the next month or so. I want to encourage you a little bit. Okay? I don't know where things are going to go economically. I know they'll bounce back. I get that. But be smart a little bit, okay? Be smart a little bit. They're already talking about benefit packages in case people lose jobs and those things, but be a little wise with that. Try to avoid handshaking. It's awkward. I watch guys come in today. Should we or should we not? How you doing? You know, we just get to be sensible and careful. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. If you know, every time I preach, I have a bit of a cough. That's not the coronavirus. My wife has this cough that was going around before the coronavirus scare, and she's at home. And I'm like, everybody's going to think the pastor's infected already. I can see it already. Should I stay home? Like, it's not the coronavirus. And I'm like, I said, honey, you follow the Lord. You know, folks, here's the thing. We need to use a measure of wisdom in this. A measure of wisdom. God is in control, okay? And here's the thing. If people do get it, we've got to help one another. That's the truth. But I'm going to trust the Lord in these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, a lot of truth and Lord, a lot of laughs because your folks needed it today. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We're not trying to be foolish. Lord, there are concerns I do have. But Lord, I bring them before you. Give us wisdom in what to do, how to handle ourselves and our homes, Lord, as we meet as a church family. Help us to offer the message of hope. Lord, I pray that you be with this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed.